What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Do you guys think movies are back?
Absolutely not.
That's a
absolutely not.
That was a quick hard no.
Damn.
Here's my thing.
Because I'm asking. Well, because I'm asking. Because Dune has done. Dune Part Two has done well. This movie's doing well. Okay. We got Monkey Man
coming
out
next
week.
For movies to be back, and where are we counting them being gone from?
I think it's the box office.
Yeah, the box office.
Are we saying Barbenheimer was the last time movies were?
Well, Barbenheimer is considered an anomaly.
Yeah,
interesting.
And maybe they brought movies back, but like you
2018,
know.
2019, like 2018. I think was that when Endgame.
So we're
came
saying
out?
Pre-COVID. We're saying
pre-COVID.
Yeah, pre-COVID.
We're saying I have movies returned. But wait, but when was
are they back in full swing?
Oh, I guess Endgame was pre-COVID.
2019.
I guess you could say last year they were back in. So if you wanted to make the case that last year they were back in full swing because you had Super Mario Brothers and Barbie and Oppenheimer.
I don't know, but someone mentioned that a lot of people who saw Barbenheimer haven't been back to the theaters until Dune. Like I think it was even like on like a Vox or a Daily podcast. Which you think about it, those movies came out in July. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that means
right.
No one went to the theater until March, really. Like, right. You know, so it's hard for me to say it's back because even if we're looking at these numbers, like I think, Bray, you kind of were hitting at it. When we talk about what like Godzilla versus Kong did, I mean, Godzilla Kong did, it's good. But in retrospect, that'd have been like a 200, 250 million movie in like 2019, 2018. You know, now it's like 175, 180, which is good. But not what they used to be, you know?
But what's back? So back is going to have to be what it used to be because I feel like with inflation, I just don't know if I'm going to be seeing movies like that. And I know that I'm no longer target demographic for like most movies except for like IP, right? Like target demo. We trying to get the kids to come out.
Yeah, that's real.
But like it's like... Like, I'm not excited. I'm excited for stuff coming out in 2025, but I don't know that I'm excited for too much stuff coming out this year. You know?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. I mean,
so I don't know. Like, I don't know what it... I feel like what a movie is and what's trying to get butts in seats is kind of evolving in a way. Like it's right. Like Poor Things wasn't trying to... I haven't seen it yet. This is not a knock to Poor Things, but they weren't trying to, like, sell out houses, right? Like that's not what
that's an Oscar play.
Yeah. And so then the movies that are trying to sell out, I just don't know.
The December movie that would have been trying to sell out was Aquaman.
Right.
The Lost Kingdom? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Is that another Kingdom movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. You know, and then in terms of even just superhero movies, it's like, I don't know. I feel like the next DC one is Superman, right? And like, we're waiting to see how that's going to do.
Right.
But like, how much is Superman attracting people even? Because like, we're kind of over the big two at DC. Batman,
no, we're
Superman.
Not over the big two. Everybody loves Godzilla Kong, the new empire.
Oh, Oh my God.
The big two is here, baby.
I will accept this. I normally fight these, but I like that one.
Come on now. Come on, Gerard. The big two? Godzilla Kong?
Why do you keep saying it? Why do you keep saying it?
Well, because we're talking about the big two. You know,
oh, my
you know
God. I mean? Skylar, stop the podcast. I can't hear him say it yet. I can't.
I also now don't like the repetition of the words I used. Like, okay. You're continuing me.
No, Skylar's on my side. He said this was good. Let's start the show.
Skylar, you're a traitor. This one rocks. They are the big two. Great.
Jonathan Braylock, James the Third, Gerard Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Is that a mini Kong? The other one I was going to do is, I'm going to kiss you on the mouth.
I thought you were going to make a good Kong like sound one. or like a Godzilla sound.
I ain't trying to. Nah. I did the Godzilla sound during one of our Black at the Movies, and the entire audience didn't react to it at all.
Well, technically you were... You said you did a Godzilla to Kong one. What's one?
I did the Godzilla one.
Oh, okay,
yeah, that's a hard thing to do.
And
yeah.
But in my at least in my echo chamber of my own head, it sounded like it was pretty on there. No, I did the roar.
No, that's empowering. Yeah.
See, now y'all got me.
You sound like a bird.
I didn't do it.
You sound like a bird.
I did it full out. I did it full out at the show.
I don't know, man. That sounded like a little leafy bird. That's a leafy bird.
I did it full out at the show, and it sounded like it in my head at the show. Sound like a bird.
Those who are listening for the first time, welcome. We are a review film podcast. We review the films typically of leading Black actors and talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. But, you know, we've been switching it up. What we're doing now is we're reviewing big movies that come out, and they may have some Black leads, or they may have some Black supporting characters, or maybe no Black people in it at all.
We haven't gotten there yet. We haven't gotten to the no Black people in it at all yet.
We haven't
right?
gotten there yet. No, yeah. not well. I guess I mean Blue Beetle, but that was people of color. We were doing.
Oh yeah.
So, but we're still talking about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood, because you know I don't know where we're at right now, but we're kind of it's like a weird time. It's like the diversity. It's not a fad anymore. It's kind of like it's lost a little bit of its. Of its flavor.
You
and
could say it. Black men can jump in Hollywood now.
Not Black men. Not that many Black men. We can skip. Everybody else jumping. We can skip.
We can hop. Skipping. Can we hop yet?
I don't know, bro. Unless you Michael B, you might be skipping. You regular right. Black, you might be tripping.
I was more just going to say that, you know.
Just picture Gerard in the corner of the cookout with the red cup.
Yeah, if you tripping.
You a Black man, you might be tripping.
I'm just saying, bro. I'm looking at these movies, these TV shows.
There are three of us on the podcast.
So we
got three different voices. The voice you're listening to now that sounds like the voice of someone who knows what they're talking about, but people just won't listen. They don't want to hear the truth. They try to paint you as just the podcast, but in reality, you got the knowledge inside. The voice that sounds like that? Well, that's Jonathan Braylock. That's me.
Hey, man. I'm not... Listen. I'm going to support you, but... That sound real Alex. You know, I'm not even going to do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even going to hit you with the InfoWars.
Wow.
I'm
not going to hit you with the InfoWars. You already did.
I ain't saying it. You know what I'm saying?
And say you're not going to say it.
I'm not saying it. This voice, okay, that is tired and knows what's happening in the world, but the man trying to keep him down, is that a Gerard Milligan?
And okay. this voice that sounds like a sort of what? Eccentric.
Are you a leprechaun?
Dentist. No, hold dentist. On. Wait, hold on. wait, hold on. Let's see if I can do if what my Irish accent would be.
This is not what this guy sounded like.
No, it's not. It's not a Dan Stevens impression. It's just, I was just being English.
Oh, I thought he was being a leprechaun.
Man, see, y'all ain't, nah, man, forget
no,
y'all.
No, no, dude, my bad, James.
I ain't gonna say.
You said dentist.
I'm gonna have them guessing who the third voice is. Y'all can guess who this voice is.
It's James III.
Y'all can guess who this is.
You JB Smoove or something?
Guess who I am.
I don't know.
Or Tracy Morgan?
No, I would do it.
Like, it's a combo.
I wish I could do a Tracy Morgan. It doesn't sound like it.
Listen, as you already know, because you clicked on the podcast, we're reviewing Godzilla Kong, the New Empire, or if you will, Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire, or Godzilla and Kong, the New Empire. I don't know how you want to say it. Maybe you like to say it GXK, the New Empire. That's how it looks on the some of the posters. This film came out and it said, what up? We here. $87 million domestic gross so far.
Damn.
It has.
Killing it.
Let's see. I mean, it's grossed $202 million worldwide. And that's just this weekend. I mean, basically, this weekend and Monday.
Mm-hmm. Do these box office reports count things like AMC stubs or MoviePass or so they count them. MoviePass is back, right?
Yeah, MoviePass is back. Basically, because when you buy those, when you get those tickets, even if you're not paying it, it's the ticket price still counts. Mm. You know, basically.
Okay,
AMC
so it counts as a ticket price.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they still got to pay those margins, but so yeah, no, those things count, and this movie, you know. What's it got? It's got a 54% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it has a 92% Damn. Audience score.
Damn.
How about that? 92% audience score. And it's not the lowest of the, you know, the movies of these. I don't know. What are we calling this? The Monsterverse?
Yes, the Monsterverse.
Like, yeah.
This is the Monsterverse.
Yes, it's actually called the Monsterverse. Yep.
All right.
Now, cool. Godzilla versus Kong actually got 76% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That movie was fun.
I gotta rewatch that. We didn't review that one, but we did review Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Yeah, so I saw that on my own. I just went to see Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah.
Oh, but that predates my child. Yes.
Yes. Yes, it does. Okay. Yes, it does. Predates your child.
Back when I was just going to see movies, what a time that was.
What a time.
I miss it.
Godzilla King of the Monsters has a 42%.
I think that might be the lowest. I ain't like that.
Hater.
I didn't like that one. I didn't like it. In my opinion, it's the worst one.
It is the worst of them. It is the worst one. It is.
I actually like that one more than I like the first Godzilla one.
The first?
Really? Godzilla was murking people in that jungle, ripping heads.
The first one, the story was lacking, but I think the representation of Godzilla was
the
pretty.
The actors were.
Yeah,
not,
that's fair.
You know, strong.
The acting wasn't great. And there was also I did like the visuals of the first one more, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I felt like it was wasted. And I was so mad when Bryan Cranston died because it was like, I want him in this movie. Anyway.
So that means you were mad 5 minutes into the movie. 10 minutes.
Exactly.
That
that's when, and that's my point.
Is that how quick he died? I feel like
he was in like the first 20 minutes. It's like, cool. We see him in the beginning and then like we cut to the new and then he died pretty quickly. And Aaron Town. Anyway, he was rather. Okay, whatever. It doesn't matter. We're talking about Godzilla Kong, the new empire. What else do we need to say? But I mean, look, story, you don't really need one. That said, I guess the exact story is that you don't actually need one, but in, you know, if you want one, we got Hollow Earth, Kong's chilling there, and then all of a sudden there's a new big bad threat. It's a monkey called Scarface?
Scar.
Okay. Scar?
Scar King.
Thank you. It's called Scar King, and he wants to get back and up to Earth and rule and reign. But Kong's not going to let that happen. Godzilla certainly ain't going to let that happen. And so they about to battle. That's the movie.
And that's the movie,
that
baby.
And that's the movie.
The Kaijus are battling in Hollow Earth.
Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have. But it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate when you're not working.
It's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know?
I got the shakes and, you know, the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009. And what are we in April? Soon to be May. And I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aide. And I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in. Like, sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah, I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting in certain situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. But sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling, and I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp! You know, they say time waits for no one. And neither should payday. To keep your money moving in the direction of your dreams, get Earnin'.
Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
Listen, you know, when you get Earnin', you can have a little special night out. You can go to the movies. That's what I would do with some of the money I got from Earnin'. You know, maybe just take myself, get a big popcorn, the extra large drink, some pretzies on the side. Can't go without the pretzies.
Yeah. Okay.
Need them pretzies. You know?
Maybe somebody invites you to the Oscars last minute. All of a sudden, you need a tux. You know, that happens to all of us.
Yeah, that's a common thing that happens to everybody.
Listen, download Earnin' today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store.
When you download the Earnin' app, type in jump under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Jump under podcast.
Subject to your available earnings, locations, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
I will say the best thing this movie did was, let me do initial thoughts. I'll just go. I saw this movie, and this probably influenced my opinion, but I saw this movie to like almost a sold out theater full of kids. Like they were losing their mind. Like they were like having the yelling. One that was down, like two seats down from me, was standing up the entire time, like bouncing around because he loved King Kong. So they definitely had a big influence. But also my thing was, I like that they just almost did away with the humans. I was like, I don't need them. Like, I don't need to hear about what's going on in their life, really. Like, we had a little bit of it, but for the most part, King Kong was the lead. And I'm like, that's the thing I liked about Planet of the Apes, is like the first one, they were like, these humans suck. Caesar is the guy. And for this one, it was like, Kong is the guy. We're following him. He tired. He fighting motherfuckers. Like, he got it. He wants some family. So I really enjoyed that. Also, I thought the fights were like good. I thought they like, I don't know why people keep messing with the pyramids, but you know.
I didn't like that.
Like, it's always the pyramids. It's like always the pyramids.
Is it always the pyramids?
Bro, there was I know Transformers. Transformers messed up the pyramids. Wonder Woman messed up the pyramids.
Oh, they didn't in Wonder Woman.
Recently, Napoleon, historically, in the movie that just came out.
But they just was showing what he did.
Yeah. He happened to fuck up the pyramids. But it's like, why they always go to the pyramids, man? Or the Eiffel Tower. It's like those two. But anyway.
Other than that, it used to always be the Empire State Building.
True. But yeah, I enjoyed this movie. I thought it was fun. I thought it was cool.
Great. All right. Here's my initial thoughts. Look, this movie, it's fun if you turn your brain off, which I did. Honestly, I turned my brain off. I laughed. It was silly. We had a good time. I think we talked about this in Godzilla King of the Monsters too. Like, it's kind of the craziness of that. I feel like we've said this for some of the films, except for Kong Skull Island, which I actually think is the best one by far. But I think that...
Yeah.
You know...
Where Brie Larson at? Shoot.
I feel like this movie, more than the others I've ever felt, I really was like, you know what? Guys, minimize these human stories to the point that they don't... Just almost get them off screen. Mm-hmm. I'm cool just following Kong.
Yep.
And maybe Godzilla a little bit. I actually like that they favored Kong over Godzilla. I feel like this was Kong's movie. And he was very interesting to watch. Honestly. I was having fun watching his story with the little baby Kong. That was cool. I liked it. It was really fun. You know, and you know, this movie didn't try to make you care too much about the characters. It was very small human like element to it, which I kind of liked. They were just like, hey, here's our five people. Our one disposable guy and the four people you're going to care about. And then that's it. All the other people didn't really matter. Because some of the other ones, like, you know, and Kong Skull Island had a lot of people, but they were good about it. Godzilla and King of the Monsters both had a lot of people. And it was just so confusing.
It's
just ridiculous. So confusing. You're like bouncing around. You're like, who are these people? Like, none of them make any sense. Their motivations don't make any sense. So I liked how they slimmed it down. It's interesting. I do feel like this movie, this director who's directed a lot of films, mostly horror, I feel like he was like really embracing like the Michael Bay style, you know, of like blockbuster movie making, which is like quick edits, you know, ramping up the humor and the action, like a lot of exposition where it almost doesn't really matter, but you just like, you don't care about it. Like you have no... You're not trying to apologize for it or hide it. You're just like, exposition, get it out. Okay, go ahead, let's go. You know, move.
Yeah.
Which honestly is a way, like, when a film knows what it is, which I do believe this movie does, like, I respect it so much more than when the movie tries to be something it's not, you know? So I do think this movie knows what it is. That said, you know, if you don't really like silly, dumb action movies, you're not going to like this. You're not going to like it at all. It's, you know... If you know what you're getting into and you go in going like, I know what I'm getting into and I'm going to love it, kind of like the Fast and Furious stuff, then you're good to go. And that's kind of what these movies have been, especially the last three. So I'm here for it. I mean, I wish, you know, original movies were being made as well, which we're going to talk about one next week on Patreon. But that's my initial thoughts.
Yes, I am inclined to agree with both of you that like this movie's fun. Turn your brain off. Mm-hmm. Enjoy seeing Godzilla, Kong. All of the Kong stuff is super funny. I just want to respond to a couple things that Bray just said, though. This movie definitely knows what it is.
Yeah.
But Fast and Furious also, I was thinking about that while watching this. But I think almost to its detriment, it knows what it is. And I'm just going to talk about the last Transformers really quickly. That one in particular was the first one where they were like, there are people in this, and they really figured out how the people could matter in the story and how like you were on a journey with the people. And like at every step of the way, you like needed the particular figure, the particular people that you're following. And I just feel like this one was like, yeah, we don't care about the people. And like, chose to like actively underwrite them in ways that was like by the time it was over, I saw it with my friend Matt. And by the time it was over, the first thing I leaned over to him and said, wow, a lot of people died in this. Wow, a lot of people die in
so
this one.
Yeah. People died.
In the last couple, like, you know, they would always try to like evacuate, you know, before, but like particularly because of the setup, it was like, oh, we don't know where these we don't know where these portals go. So like they couldn't do that and stuff, you know, but we just saw it was a lot of just like people being murdered. But then the core people are so unimportant, you know, they're witnesses, you know, and they're kind of like people. And but it was just like afterwards we were like, what did Brian Tyree do? Like, what did he have to?
I mean,
what did he have to do?
I mean, there's some fun stuff to talk about there,
right? And like, and then and Dan, when she looked at Dan and was like, "Do you want to come?" I threw my hands up because I was like, "Why? Like, there's no. Why is he coming? If you're gonna go down there, get some mercenaries and just sort of look at what you're gonna look at, and then come back. Like, why are you the team that she chooses to go with? She first the people she chooses. Are the guy who can fly the plane, fly the aircraft. Then
that's it, by the way. Dan, for really? Some,
right, yeah, and that's Dan. It. And then she's like, do you want to come? And is okay.
No more weapons.
And then her daughter's like, I got to come.
I'm coming.
And then she just doesn't bring Brian Tyree. And he asked her, his whole reason for even flying with her was like, she was like, I'll let you have whatever you want. And so it was like, she wasn't even going to take him. And she it was just confusing as to like, why that was the team.
They were like, this is the team. And I was like, so before your daughter demanded to go, you randomly asked this veterinarian who wasn't going to be there to go. And Brian Tyree Henry, who you didn't even want to go. It was just going to be you and this one dude?
Yeah.
Just going down there? Was that what the team was going to be? It was just you two? What?
Also, where's the more people with guns? You're going in a place where like you're...
Truly!
There's got to be more people with guns.
Also, are they not trained?
They treated Hollow Earth like it was was Central Park, man. They truly like rolled in there like it was absolutely nothing and there was nothing to worry about.
And if the thing you're going to check out is like, oh, they're non-responsive, then it's like, you send an army. They're non-responsive? Something crazy happened.
In
like,
Hollow Earth, where you know there are giant monsters everywhere? Just because nothing's happened for 2 years doesn't mean squat. How long were we living on Earth before Godzilla came up and destroyed everything? And then before all other monsters came and started destroying stuff. Like, what do you, like the nonchalance that people have to kaiju is out of this world.
it just sticks out in this one in particular for some reason in a way that it hadn't before for me. And so I had trouble with that, but I had a ball. Like, come on, the movie is fun. It's nonsense. And I going back to talking about Godzilla, what we said about the first Godzilla is I miss how Gareth chose to represent scale in that movie.
Oh yeah,
like just okay, good point. See good point. How big Godzilla was good and point. Felt. And even in Skull Island, I don't know who directed that
100%. But I will say I mean, it's like a small defense and who cares, but like it is hard. It's much harder to do that when most of your movies in Hollow Earth.
Absolutely. And I get that. And you don't really see people and you don't see buildings and one thing that I like about Hollow Earth.
Everything's big.
Is how normal Kong seems. I like that. I like that it's like, oh, we're looking at a gorilla.
And Kong, know? King of Monsters, he was big. That motherfucker
was
big.
He was still supposed to be like bigger than all the other apes. And he kind of was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know, just like kind of figuring that out and figuring it, especially figuring it out when we're just like so many wide shots. And obviously it's inherent in the, in this sort of IP, like, you know, lots of wide shots and stuff like that. But I just really liked the way that particularly scale was represented and perspective and stuff was represented in that first Godzilla movie. And it feels like each subsequent movie has kind of lost it a little bit more and more and more and more. So, but all that to say, the movie's a lot of fun. And I don't know, I feel like I'm somewhere between the audience score and the critic score on how I feel about it, I think.
Yeah, okay, well, let's get into it. I mean, this film, does it start with Kong in Hollow Earth? It does, right?
Wait, yeah, yeah. It starts with Gaul. He's getting chased. He's like getting chased by like.
That's right. Things, yeah, he's the fighting the. He's fighting the. Well, they're like dinosaur hyenas. Like they're it's.
Yeah. Wait, but the beginning of the movie, I believe like the first thing we see in this movie is like, we see kind of Hollow Earth, and then we see the title like, the text somewhere in Hollow Earth, and I immediately laughed, and. I think some other people in the audience laughed too. And we were like, okay, we know what this movie is. You know, so it was just like somewhere in Hollow Earth. And you're just like, what? Like, why even put that text? Like, just say Hollow Earth. Like, it was just so funny to be like somewhere in Hollow Earth. Like, anyway,
I have been like over noticing location captions in films since I want to say Civil War when they like just sort of like always showed you where you were in time and in space for some reason. And I don't know why it's becoming a bigger thing, but it's like, I don't know. I don't know why that is such an important part of storytelling for some of these blockbusters. It's like, we don't actually need to know everywhere that we are in time. Like we can, the audience can put it together.
Tell me.
Right. Dude,
tell me where we at. I mean, oh, wait, I do like, you know, getting back to, I do like Kong setting up traps for people. You know what I mean? Like, to show how smart he is when he's messing with
that. That was incredible.
Like, he had traps for everything. I was like, my man.
That was incredible.
Yeah. But only that, you know what it is? The only thing about Kong that, like, I'm going to tell you the most relatable thing to me about Kong this whole movie was the fact that after this fight, he got, like, a tooth infection. Like, that was his big thing. It was like... Like, his big thing is like, hey, they fucked up my tooth. And like, that could do me in.
Yeah, it's so silly.
That's so silly, but so real.
Yeah, and I love that. To me, I was like, oh, it's so cool they're showing him with the traps. Because I was like, that's right. Like, Kong is smart. He's a primate. He's super huge. But like, it's not just the fact that, you know, he's got opposable thumbs and things like that. Like, he's intelligent. Like, he should be more intelligent than Godzilla. I think he is. So I like that aspect of it too that they introduced. But yeah, like that
was... Yeah, like Godzilla's moving on pure instinct, right? Like it's just sort of like instinctually moving from place to place. Oh, right. Something's coming. I got to get more energy. You know, oh, fuck. Fucking Godzilla's here. Kong's here. I got to fuck him up. You know, like it's just like following what's in front of him.
Having that man sleep in
the Coliseum.
In the Coliseum is so funny.
Yeah.
Cause like, yeah, where did he be sleeping? I guess he's like, hey, bro, this is bed. So y'all go.
Did y'all watch Monarch? Did you watch the series?
I couldn't get through it.
I tried. I skipped around so much.
I would say, I mean, it's not great, but one of the first time we see Godzilla in I'll say real time, cause they're jumping around in time a bunch. He's like, in a mountain, like he's been sleeping for so long, rock has built around. Like it's, I don't know.
It don't make sense.
I don't know what it is, but he's like, yeah, it's. I don't know where he hides or where he lives, but that was.
But
crazy.
I also heard that they didn't really like. There was some stuff they established in Monarch that doesn't really apply to this movie, and it's kind of like, what are you guys doing?
Well, technically they're not in Hollow Earth in Monarch. They're in like
is that right?
Yeah, so they're in another
they're somewhere else. Yes.
So they're somewhere else. Let me
no way.
Yeah, because don't forget in Monarch
they didn't establish Hollow Earth until Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, hold on, Monarch.
Right, and when you and travel into Hollow Earth does not affect the timeline, and travel into wherever the place is in Monarch does affect the timeline. Like if you haven't seen that far, but that's the whole thing is like time spent in whatever pocket dimension they go to,
right,
moves slower down there. So you think you think. No time has passed, and then you come back, and it's like, oh my god, it's been a decade or whatever,
right?
Okay, that actually helps, I guess, but
that does help a little bit. But anyway, I mean, but it also is more confusing because it's like, where are all these dimensions?
I'll also just say, I feel like nothing happens in Monarch.
Like nothing. That's why it was nothing. So hard to do, dude. That show moves so slow. I was like, I can't do this.
But then, even by the conclusion,
Still nothing.
Nothing has happened. Besides the establishing of like, there's this dimension where time moves at this pace. That's the only thing that you get from the entire 10 episode season.
Yeah, and when is that going to come into play? All right. Also, I did find it I'm skipping something and we can go back, but like I found it so funny that they were like subterranean Hollow Earth. It was like, what? They're like, you thought Hollow Earth was deep? There's a deeper Hollow Earth within Hollow Earth.
What is that?
It's just like, give me a break. Like, guys, the Earth is only so big. Yeah. How deep can we go, really, before we get to the core? Like,
and then also, what does it mean? Because it felt to me that, like, my thought was that Hollow Earth, because of sort of how it's positioned with gravity, is that the core is the emptiness. That, right? Like, there isn't the core. But then if there's something sub... If there's something sub that, it's actually close, closer to the
Earth
surface.
Earth is a globe, right? So it's a sphere. So, you know, we can only go so far deep before we start going back to the surface. Anyway, whatever. It's just like, I mean, I know none of that matters, but it was just so funny to be like, sub.
It should, right?
Like,
it should
guys,
matter.
Guys, come on. I much more appreciated the like, that this like human, this other, I forget what the name of the tribe is or whatever,
but
they're like they're king, the Iwi, that they're protected by some like weird electric, you know, like whatever thing.
I think it's like Mothra's silk, right? Like it's sort of like does the silk to close it, so maybe that's what all of it makes sense.
That makes sense. Also, didn't Mothra die in King of the Monsters?
Well, she can always resurrect. Like that's
got
her
it, got it. She can always that's
she
her
can,
thing.
She can always come back. She can always like back. Bring them back to life. So it's like
right. Okay. So that's why she's the queen.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Cool. And okay. So basically, this movie again, like I said, it's a very little plot. You know, we jump back on board with you know, if you haven't seen it and you know what it is. Anyway,
it's fun.
So we jump. By the way, I forgot to tell. We spoil movie. So we have been spoiling. You can't really spoil this movie, but you know what I mean.
There's no way.
So we're gonna. Yeah, there's no way. You know exactly what's gonna happen. But anyway,
lizard fight something else. That's
guess what? They fight and guess what? Godzilla and Kong win. Okay. So anyway, Rebecca. I don't know if you know this, but they win always. So Rebecca Hall, a good actress, and then she's got a haircut, and she's got her daughter Kaylee, played by Kaylee Hoddle. Her name is Gia, maybe.
I just saw the movie. I don't remember.
It doesn't really matter.
The humans don't matter.
Anyway, Gia. Anyway, she's having trouble in school. And you know, she's having freaking dreams.
She's having trouble in school, yeah, because she's having prophetic dreams.
Psychic dreams, and she's scribbling huge, weird like graphs, like peaks, these three triangles. And the school teacher's like, "Hey, your daughter's not paying attention."
Wow.
Like it truly was like the, instead of the teacher being like, I think your daughter might be possessed by Satan.
Yeah.
Was just
she's
like
scaring everyone. She's scaring everybody
because we're trying to reach her anyway. So
wait, I have to talk about this. She was using a pencil to draw them graphs, right? When she fell asleep in class, when she woke up, the entire desk had giant.
Yes.
How long was she asleep to fill in the whole desk?
Quick. I know. A quick move.
No way. Not with a pencil. That takes an hour minimum. Hours is what I would say, actually. It
was funny. They were all staring at her. The other thing that I loved about this whole graph thing. So she draws this thing. And Rebecca Hall takes it home and then realizes, wait a minute, this seismograph that we had in Hollow Earth, we have a station in Hollow Earth, and it had these weird readings before we got cut off communication with them, and it looks similar. There's these three spikes, you know, that happened in the middle of the graph. And so she's looking at that, And so she's like, the only person I can turn to is Brian Tyree. We don't actually see why he's the only person she could turn to. She actually doesn't
because of the last movie.
Right, it's because of the last movie. We haven't seen her speak to another single soul about this, but she goes straight to Brian Tyree Henry, who's still doing his podcast thing, and nobody believes him, even though he helped save the world in Godzilla v. Kong.
Representation of the government, because he saved the world, and the government denied his help and existence. Look at that. Look at the deep meaning in Kong and Godzilla. That's all I'm going to say.
And one of my favorite parts of this movie is she shows him the graphs and she says, look at this. And he looks at the seismograph and he looks at the kid's drawing and they both have like these three triangle peaks. And he goes, the patterns of this are the same. And she goes, exactly. Oh, thank God. I was like, you could have literally asked any single person that. Like, there's not a single human being alive. In fact, you could have went to her, your daughter's classroom and asked every single child, hey, what do you see here? And they would have been like, hey, these look the same.
But that's why what I rationalized was that it's not that she needed to go to him because other people were telling her that this was crazy. She thought that it was crazy that her daughter was envisioning the graphs, and she needed this man who she knows thinks outside of the box to tell her that it is normal to him. And so then she's like, okay, I'm not crazy. Like, she needed him to tell her that she's not crazy, not to confirm it to anyone else. Like, it had nothing to do with, like, he wasn't the only person she could turn to. It was the only person that would make her feel okay about the crazy thought she had.
Yeah.
It wasn't that crazy of a thought.
They look exactly the same.
And it's like people know that this girl has a weird connection to Godzilla and her tribe.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but something's here. It's not nothing.
And let me tell you,
that's too big of a coincidence.
Right. That is the only thing that Brian adds to the movie. Everything else is him going on the ride.
Yeah. But they try to, every now and then they like have him say something that like one isn't necessary and two doesn't even make any sense, but they pretend like he's adding to the conversation. Like, there's like a certain point where he's like, the pyramids.
Eli was telling him in sign language
what they were going to do.
Yeah. And he went, I got it.
And we were like, and it's like, okay, it doesn't matter if you get it or not. They're going to do what they're going to do. You explaining it to anybody doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether or not you understand what they're going to do. Just know that this is what they're going to do.
Truly crazy. No, truly, it was like, and that doesn't happen for another hour and a half.
Yeah, it's almost the end of the movie. Yeah. There are some other parts where he said, like,
he's just being goofy for two straight hours. It's funny. It is funny.
Yeah.
He's very funny at what he does.
Yeah.
Very funny.
And he's documenting everything.
Right. That they tell him he can't really, like Dan Stevens is like,
they keep saying like, no, you can't share that.
The people.
By the way, they never end that threat. We don't know whether or not he shared it. It's like a cliffhanger for, I guess, the next movie.
Exactly.
I don't know.
And I will see it.
Is this the crew now? Like, I mean, no offense to any, I think Brian Tyree Henry is an absolutely fantastic actor. He's fun in this. I think Rebecca Hall is a really good actor as well. And Dan Stevens was funny in that, like, he just made a choice and it was like cool. But I'm also kind of like, is this it now? Like, I know it's only been two movies, but I'm just like, you had so many other people. You had different people in Godzilla. Obviously, Kong Skull Island was a different time and so many of those people died. But I'm still kind of like, King of the Monsters was like completely different people. And so now, and then, so it was like, Before this movie, every single movie was different people.
Yeah.
And there was nothing about God. And I know you guys said you liked it, but there was nothing about Godzilla versus Kong that made me go like, well, now this is the cast they should stick with.
Well, what I liked about it was Mechagodzilla. like exactly. That was cool. Like, that was fun. Like, that's what I liked. I don't know what else, you know, there is to even say.
I guess the only repeats were Brian Tyree Henry, Rebecca Hall, and the daughter.
That's right, because that's right. Oh, Alexander Skarsgård was in that one?
Because Bobby Brown came back. She was in it for a little bit, but I feel like she wasn't a huge... Mm-mm. I forgot how important she was.
Her and Brian Tyree were the ones, like, well, at least not in the last one, but the one before that, they the ones who saved the day. Remember, they got Godzilla
in King of
Monsters.
Brian Tyree is in King of Monsters?
She was with somebody.
No, he's in Godzilla versus Kong. She was also in Godzilla versus Kong.
Okay, then was she in that whole movie?
I think so. I know her and
they just couldn't bring her back to this one.
I remember her and Brian Tyree like in a stadium or I remember them doing some type of shit.
The stadium is King of Monsters.
So that's Millie and somebody else.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why is Millie not back in this then?
I don't know. And
that's
I'm
what
upset,
I was
right.
Like,
frankly.
Millie and Kyle Chandler are not back in. Well, I was like, where did
those
they
are the
go?
Only two people that I'm like, where are they? I need them back. I don't need anybody else. And Skarsgård was the other villain. The other, they were like, it was a race against time.
I thought he was one of the good doctors, no?
Wasn't he the villain? He was a good doctor? Well, it was a couple people. It was like some people who was trying to wake the monsters up.
The team.
It was other people who was like trying to make sure the monster stayed asleep.
I think he was the cool dude. Like, you know how they got Stevens? He was like the cool one in that one. Look, man, I don't know.
We don't remember it. Why? Because the movie wasn't good.
Don't care about the humans. Give me more. Listen, if one of these motherfuckers didn't talk the whole movie, great.
All right. Anyway, so I kind of need them to switch it up.
I don't need none of
it. What else should we talk about? Like, oh, right. So the baby. So baby Kong is introduced. He's all cute. Godzilla like goes over and like, you know, holds out his hand like, hey, and then baby Kong like bites it. And then all of a sudden other monkeys come and attack him and he has to fight them off. And then there's a point where he takes baby Kong and starts beating the other
that
monkeys.
Was so funny. That was,
bro,
so
it was so
funny.
Violent.
That was so funny.
Yo, he was beating them like, oh my goodness. And then I was like, these people become friends? Like,
he beat every monkey.
He didn't even really become friends with them. He tried to save the one gorilla that was falling over the edge. But then that gorilla tried to stab him, so he kicked him off.
Yo,
then
it's truly,
like,
what was that
he
about?
Tried, he kicked the
well,
because
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, they wanted to kill him for whatever reason.
Well, because I think Kong was obeying the rules of the jungle, because he was like, yo, I get it. I'm a new monkey in your territory. But right, once right. I beat your ass, once I beat your ass
with ease,
y'all go, okay, you are new leader. That's how it goes. I'm gonna beat you. I'm not trying to kill you. I'm gonna just beat you down.
I don't want you to go off this chasm.
I'm the king, and then you respect me. And then he was like, "You trying to murk me after I just saved your life? Get the hell out of here. I'm gonna kill you then. Okay, fine."
Nah, it's just the sight of him using the little small Kong, little Diddy Kong, and just like beating the shit out of people. And he threw him. Dang. When he threw Diddy, and then when he took the little rock and threw it at the other dude, I was like, my man is just nasty. And he just got up and just started walking. Like every time they threw something at him, he'd be like, all right, y'all motherfuckers. And it just was like walking. When the little Kong set him up to get like taken by the water, a little water snake.
I know.
See, I was even laughing at that because when he threw the snake head and his like little axe thing to trip up the little kid, he came back and just started walking again. It's just, he just felt like an old man who was like, man, I'm trying to help you little niggas, but y'all don't listen. That's what it felt like. Y'all won't
really
listen.
Was.
That is exactly what it was.
It was. And I loved it.
It was just like, this is such a bizarre. It was very, I very much enjoyed it. But it was like, they were just like, we're going to give him a little kid. They just forced this little kid into the story. Like,
I love it.
And then I did appreciate later that Kong was like, all right, I know that dude tried to kill me earlier, but I don't like that you're forcing them to do your work. Like when he saw the guy later, when he saw the gorilla later.
He killed him for no reason.
Yeah, killed him for no reason. And he was like pissed because he was like, that's my man's dad. Like he could tell that was the little kid's dad. And he was like, all right, we out here. We're going to fight now. We're going to do this.
Scar was nasty though. Scar was nasty with it.
Just real quick. What was Scar forcing them to do?
Move rocks. They was moving rocks, man, from one place to the other.
For what reason?
For what? For what was the purpose of that? Because Bray, they needed something to do.
No, because what happened was they had, so in the back is the ice monster.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so what was happening was the prison for the ice monster needed mm-hmm. some reinforcements. You know, they needed some residing. And so they was just building some more stuff for the
It seemed like they had that contraption worked out.
Because they needed to build.
He had them there in like freaking literally like a slave camp, like a prison, like a work camp, and he was forcing them to do stuff, but for no real reason. Also, I kind of didn't quite understand because when Rebecca Hall was retelling this story about like who this dude was, like Godzilla, it was like, oh, he took all the monkeys up, you know, they faced Godzilla. By the way, I don't know how Godzilla won that fight.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, no way.
With that many monkeys?
I mean, they were little. He probably burnt their little asses up. He probably was like, oh, y'all coming at me?
I mean, he definitely burned them up. He definitely burnt them up. By the way, I'm kind of upset that we didn't get to see that. I was very much expect, especially with the amount that Godzilla was supercharging my man, at one point he was glowing blue, like full glowing. And they were like, he's going over here because he's trying to supercharge. I was like, he ain't supercharged yet? Goodness. How much more charge can this dude get? He gonna blow up.
He needed to be purple by then. He was fully blue. He needed to be purple.
I know. He needed to be purple. Anyway.
That shit was fire.
I was like, this dude's about to burn a bunch of monkeys. We didn't really get to see him burn that many monkeys. Anyway.
He ain't burned no monkeys.
Yeah, he really didn't. That was disappointing. Anyway, but it was cool. We hear all this story, and then he's like, apparently Godzilla banished them, you know, to the subterranean Hollow Earth. But it didn't feel like they were really banished there because it seemed like they could move in and out of there with ease.
Right, but they only could move in and out because of the collapse that happened in the beginning. Like they couldn't move in and out before. Subterranean Hollow Earth fully sealed. But that the sinkhole is what allowed them to come.
Got it. It was a sinkhole. Yeah. Okay. There we go.
But it was a vast world. It was like, this is a prison? Like, they're already in Hollow Earth. Like, it was a vast world. It wasn't just that molten lava section of it, right? It was like a whole,
Also, why did that crystal control the ice dragon?
Because it was part of his back. Her back.
Why did it control part of the back? So you mean to tell me if you take out, one of my vertebrae, okay? And you take out one of my vertebrae, you reconnect
the rest. Hollywood messaging. They was like, literally, when they said it, they were like, Rebecca Hall goes, yeah, he's controlling her with pain. I was like, oh my God. You know, this is my thing. I don't mind a message. I don't. But sometimes I'm like, look, y'all, like, this is, y'all want people to come after the movie because I'm like, y'all could have just been, I don't know. But the fact that I heard that line, somebody audibly in my movie goes, really? I'm like, yeah, I'm with you. I get it. They like this feels like a stretch.
I forgot which part it was, but we didn't realize this at the time. But like Jenny Jaffe and her husband and some other people were sitting behind us. And there was a part where like they explained something and Jenny Jaffe just goes, sure. We all just laughed. Like it was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Like there was a part where like they started like pouring whatever like the red stuff was into the weird water or whatever. And
don't
like
know what that was.
Brian Tyree Henry was like, it's a chemical reaction. And it's like, it's like, yeah, sure, bro. What chemicals? What are you talking about? Like, you can't just say chemical reaction. Like that's explaining what the hell is going on.
Huh. Ridiculous. Guys.
It's an anti-gravitational pyramid. Like okay. What?
Yeah, sure. None of that stuff made sense, man. Like, legitimately, yeah. None of it. I was like...
I thought it was so funny that they introduced that this little girl had, like, psychic powers. It was just like, oh, she's... And, like, it was like, wait, this whole tribe communicates psychically? Like, did we know that? Was that in Kong? We knew.
Yeah, so it's in...
Okay. She had something,
To some degree, it's certainly in Skull Island.
Skull Island,
because
yeah.
I mean they're all mute; they don't speak. But there's that point when they like connect heads with what's his name? Who's the guy that John C. Reilly?
John C. Reilly,
and he's like, go with it,
bro. Yeah, he's in. That's why that cat. Honestly, think about it, dude. Kong Skull Island had the best cast, hands down.
Yeah,
I don't even know how they got that cast together. They had Samuel Jackson, John C. Reilly, Brie Larson, Hiddleston.
Love me some Brie Larson.
Yeah. Jason Mitchell.
They had Jason Mitchell. They had Eugene Cordero.
That's right.
Bro, they had a cast, man.
Yeah.
That was fun. That movie was fun. What's his name, too, was good, too. Randall Park.
Oh, yeah, Randall Park. That was not who I was even thinking about. I was thinking of.
Right? Because wasn't Randall Park in this?
Yes.
Or am I?
Yes, he was.
Yes, he
was.
Is. He's in that one. He was good. That was a good movie.
Oh, yeah. John Ortiz, I like. They had, Shea Whigham, who's in a, what's it called, movie? Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Mm-hmm.
I like him too.
John Goodman.
Yeah,
it did. Corey Hawkins.
Yeah, did I say John Goodman? Yeah, freaking Corey Hawkins. Come on, man.
Yeah, Mark Evan Jackson is
who
I was thinking of.
That was a really good cast.
Mark Evan Jackson.
Crazy.
Great cast.
And they used it well. Anyway, you know, not you know, this cast was fine. It's fun. Sorry. I meant fun.
They didn't get to do much.
Dan Stevens was fun. So did you like Dan Stevens? Like, he came in and he was like, I'm a vet.
He's Ace Ventura.
I like his character. I think I like his character for sure. I think like everything he contributed once the movie went on, like once he was down there, was like incredibly convenient. Like it was, you know, not only do we have a robotic arm, but it is the perfect arm. Like it's the right arm for the one that he got hurt on. And it has serums that can heal. Like it was like, What?
That was such a Transformers moment. I was like, this is the biggest Michael Bay Transformers moment where they're like, not only is this project that we've been working on down here in Hollow Earth, I'm somehow going to get to it real quick, fly it right back, and then it's going to have serum in it that somehow cures frostbite. Like, what? Like, what?
I'm here for it. Supersize my man. Supersize him, dog.
And then they're like, well, let's see. Either Kong's gonna like it or hate it. And then Kong immediately raises it in the air. They're like,
fist bumps.
He likes it.
I'm here for it, bro. I'm here for it.
Was floored. I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved
Kong
it.
Just goes, yeah.
It was just insane.
Pounds the earth with electrical shock. You're just like, okay.
Listen, hell yeah, man. Baby. My man turned into a Power Ranger. I'm here for it, bro. Like, give him one of them Iron Man gauntlets. Let's do it. And then Scar starts making his way. It's something about when they do these villains, because I was like, all right, Scar King, felt like Scar from The Lion King, which is like a little scraggly. Like he was like,
yeah, he didn't look intimidating. Yeah,
like a little gangly, but he whooped Kong's ass though. Let's call it space.
Yeah, it was. He was like wiry, and he was like wily. You couldn't quite catch him. Like
he knew how to use that whip with the dagger. He was cutting him up.
Yeah, they just could have made him, like, it seemed like he kind of lost once he didn't have his army with him. And that was weird. It was something to do with, I think, the acting of that CGI character. Like, it was like, no, like, he should still be, he still has the fucking giant ice monster that is bigger than Godzilla. Like, he should still feel like he's in charge instead of feeling like he's like grasping at straws. Like, from the instant the gravity thing happened, it was like he has potentially lost. And that was, I thought that was weird from like a CGI acting standpoint, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like once Godzilla came through, first off, man, I felt bad for Kong this whole movie. He's like, all right, bet, let me just go to Earth. I know this nigga gonna try to fight me, but I'm trying to relax. He get up there. Godzilla immediately starts trying to beat my man down.
He's like, hold on, wait.
That is so, he tried to talk to him.
He tried. And then Godzilla just working my man until he hit him with one super punch with his new hand. You know what I mean? Then Mothra got to come up there and be like, yo, just like, I feel like women, they're just so much better than us. She got to be like, hey, would you two motherfuckers stop? Stop. What are y'all doing? We got some shit to handle.
I don't have to ask. You know, was there a little bit of Godzilla Kong's commentary on, you know, Israel Palestine? They wanted to,
was it like
Mothra to just be like, hey, you know, like, hey, y'all chill.
Yo,
stop it.
I will say this. I'll tell you the
just
part.
Need Mothra.
I thought the part that was going to get the most laughs is when, you know, first off, when they both jump in, when everybody jumps in and, you know, they go back, when Godzilla Kong, remember when they like shoot to the earth and then pop out of that crater and just start like running and shit together? I thought that was gonna be so corny, but when I say my theater lost their shit, bro.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah,
these kids, me, I was like, yeah, this is, yeah, yeah. And then when he started riding the back of Godzilla, I was like, come on, bro. Come
on,
bro.
I saw it in every trailer and was still floored when it happened. It was like, well, Bill, this is all I've ever wanted to see.
Dude, it was so cool, man.
It didn't make sense that they were even together in that moment because they were fighting seconds ago.
They were fighting.
Mothra was like, you good, though. You good. She did it right before then, James.
She's like, no, he's going back down there. You have to come down here, too.
Yeah.
Whoop these dudes'
butts. I needed kaiju subtitles. I needed, if all of that was communicated.
Nah, James, we all saw it.
Hey, Mothra was kicking butt too, man. Mothra was just like, hey, y'all, chill over there. You chill over there. You know, saving the humans left and right. Kept saving them. Dan Stevens come flying in with the electric birds.
I do have to say, because I don't watch these movies. So I haven't seen like the original Godzilla movies. But the thing I love about these current takes that I've been watching is how the kaiju just love humans. Like how some of them are just like, like,
yeah,
Mothra deliberately helping the aircraft from falling was just like, why does this big ass moth care about six people in a helicopter? Like, I just don't get.
Just their protector.
I don't get why.
Listen, James, she here to help, baby.
There's a point in Monarch towards the end, spoiler alert, and it's not a huge spoiler, but where Godzilla sees a human across a plane, and I swear to you, does the nod. Like, sees the human and goes,
does the nod. All right.
How do you see? If I saw an ant across the room, I'm not giving the ant the nod. It's too small. I don't know what is. Anyway, I just love that. I love that the kaiju are just like respect to the humans. I really appreciate it.
Facts. And then they go to Earth and they beat his ass so quick.
I gotta say, I hated all of this damage that was happening in Rio. It was like,
same.
Truly,
I was over it. I was over it at the pyramids. I was like, can we? You know what also made me mad? I know this is so stupid. I was pissed that when Godzilla woke up from the Colosseum, that it like hit part of the Colosseum when it was going out. I was like,
yeah.
No, come on now. You just show Godzilla sleeping in there. Why would he destroy part of this Colosseum?
Yeah, that's his home. That's his where bed. He's sleeping.
That's what I'm saying. My man.
Come on. I was like, man, Godzilla don't need to be destroying every single thing, bro. Because at a certain point, I'm like, this dude ain't cool, man. He destroying stuff.
He's not.
He destroying everything.
He's not.
Come on, man. Pyramids of Giza are thousands and thousands of years old. They just blowed it up for nothing, man.
It's one thing.
They were killing so many people.
And that was something that, like, I think
in retrospect, yeah. I respect more now that I've seen what happens, what the contrast is. But like in all the other movies, they were like, we've evacuated the town. We evacuated the town. We evacuated the town. It was like, really? You were able to do that? Oh, and then, you know, in that first one, especially, it was like, oh, we couldn't get to it in time. Oh, no, people are there. Oh, no, how are we going to get them out? But it was like, that was part of the story. Whereas this time it was just like, Godzilla would just be somewhere and there would just be people. And it was just like, they're fucked. Those people are dead. Those like we saw, like the first thing the ice monster does when it comes out is just fucking freeze six buildings in a row.
The monkey was right? Like, the monkey was telling her what to do.
I don't fully understand how the monkey even knew that there was like a up top earth to go to try and conquer, or why it wanted to conquer it or whatever. But that monkey saw humans and saw humans running and immediately was like, I was like, bro, you haven't seen humans for at least thousands of years.
Yeah.
At least. Yeah. Right. If not tens of thousands of years. I don't know how you even alive anymore, but whatever. It's like, why are you so happy to be killing? I don't know. It was weird. It was like he was like a little child, like taking a flamethrower to ants. Like it was just
exactly
like,
what is the.
But you're so old. So what's going on?
Why do you care? Why do you don't care, matter. Bro? Why do you care? I've seen bullies like attack an ant's nest. Like as a kid, like witnessed that and it bothered me. But I can't imagine those same kids being like, and now I'm going to fuck up all the other ants. Like those kids didn't do that. They were like, they did it once. And they were like, all right, cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I got other shit to do. Yeah.
Like what is the vendetta against? It just doesn't
make. I know. It was like, why do you hate humans so much? You want to kill them. Like you were gleefully just killing people. Also, we skipped over this, but I just want real quick. One of my other favorite parts of this movie was Brian Tyree Henry. Oh, this is one of the only things that Brian Tyree Henry does, James, is he goes, this is actually the only thing he actually really solved was when he was looking at the pyramids. At some point, he comes up to her. This is when she's about to go to Hollow Earth. He's like, okay, I've been analyzing the data and I found that there are some consistencies with, and she's like, would you just spit it out? And he's like, it's a distress call. It's a distress
right.
call. And
that's
I literally
the
was
thing
like,
he does.
My,
yes.
I was like, my man has not said he's talked for literally 5 seconds and you literally brought him here to do exactly this. And he's just simply explaining something that there's no big words that have been dropped. You're a scientist. You're very smart. And she's told him to shut up. Like he was like, you know, talking about like freaking, I don't know, physics and calculus. It
made no sense.
It's so frustrating in movies and shows like this where there's language around the scientific talk that makes it seem like really complicated things are happening when in reality. Like nothing's been expressed.
Literally nothing's
like,
been
and
said.
And that happens
nothing.
Throughout this. Like them not knowing that it's a distress call. They don't know it's a distress call just so that he can solve it and say that it's a distress call, you know, but like, and it's chalked up to like, oh, there's just random signals. We don't know what it is. And that's all, you know what I mean? It's just like, why? Even offering other potential possibilities for what the signals are would help make it seem like at least the scientists that have been looking at this are smart, you know, and like are intelligent and have been working instead of just being like, no one knows what it is. We're not going to offer any sort of options. Yeah. You know, it's so infuriating when that.
Okay. And then the other part that I want to say that was so fun was, you know, we didn't talk about this guy, but there was like one, you know, security guy who goes with them down there. And there was a certain point where they're walking through the jungle. And Dan
Don't
Stevens is like, hold on.
Don't talk about this.
Hold on. I smell something's not right. Something smells funny. And the guy just is like, well, I'm going to trust my instrument. And it was so obvious that he was going to die.
You knew it.
Part of me wanted the dialogue to literally just be, I'm going to die right now. Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm going to die right now. I'm about to die right now. I'll prove it to you. I'm going to start walking backwards confidently and I'm about to die. Truly, like, It was like so obvious he was going to die. And then he did. He gets eaten by a tree.
Watching that, I felt like when they were going down to Hollow Earth, I was like, well, that's the guy that's going to die. He's the only one that is canon.
He's the only one who can.
Yep. The only one who can. Which sucks. I thought he was going to be like a new dude.
I hope that this movie subverts that. And like, I held out hope for two scenes, maybe three scenes before that happens. The second he goes, it's like that first line that he has that's like, I think we should go. Well, I'm not going to listen to you. Whatever that first moment of disaster. And I was just like, no, they're doing it. It made me so mad. And the back and forth happens. They maybe say like six lines before he dies. And if it's like six, it's so in the air.
It's so obvious.
It's so obvious. Just kill him if you're going to kill him. What are you? That made me so mad.
Yeah. And it was, I don't know. I'm like, to me, I'm like, to make those moments more fun. Come on.
Especially because he threw that tantrum. What they were trying to do was write that he's throwing a tantrum because he literally didn't want any of these other people here. He couldn't believe he was going down there with this insane group of people that doesn't make any sense that she picked.
He's right. But they don't make any sense.
And he was right. But instead, the scene that they end up writing to show that he's having that explosion is a scene we've seen in every movie. So instead of getting across the comedic bit that they were trying to do,
it doesn't quite make sense. Like, it's like, okay, your scanner shows that there's no thermal activity, but dude, you're in Hollow Earth. Like,
yeah,
you understand that there are things that could kill you everywhere. Even if you don't understand that there's a tree monster that can kill you, like, how about not letting your guard down literally ever?
We saw walking bamboo stalks in Kong Skull Island that then led to Monarch even existing. So if you are that guy, you know that there are tree monsters. Like, you know that there are tree monsters. It's not
dude,
even...
Dude, you know that there are literally, but like every animal that we think of, there's a giant version of that in here.
Yeah.
So even if the thing is not in your area, it could come and scoop you up like that. So why are you, like, what is going on? You're going to walk backwards, bro? Get out of here. Come on now. All right, whatever. Anyway.
Ridiculous.
So this was fun. This was fun, though.
The movie was fun.
Anything
it was
else?
Fun.
Any other fun parts?
Fun movie. I can't think of
anything.
No, it
was a good movie.
Yeah.
She walked up a lot of stairs.
She walked up a lot of stairs.
Did anybody else feel like that was a lot of stairs?
It was so high up. I was like, this is dangerous. This is scary. That's a lot of stairs.
Yeah, that was too much for me.
So, then it just ends with they kill a lot of people in Rio, but
everybody's celebrating down below.
Little baby Kong destroys the little crystal that's controlling the dragon. That dragon decides to freeze the hell out of Scar King, and Scar King then gets smashed into pieces by Kong.
I, for as much as like that should have been fully obvious that that was what was going to happen, when I saw it, I was just like, this is incredible.
It was great.
when Kong throws him down and just keeps pounding into the now frozen fragments of that ape's body.
You got double tap, baby. You got to make sure he did.
He like, quadruple. He, whatever, 16-nibble, tapped him. That was great.
Oh, man. No, that was fun.
Yep, that's
it. Would have kind of been more fun, though, if he chucked him into the air and then Godzilla just blasted him with his freaking heat blast.
Okay, that would have been fun, too, because that is a team-up. I thought he was going to break him over his knee. Up. That's what I wanted him to do, break him over his knee.
Or if he would have tossed him, Godzilla would have smacked him with the tail. Then he would hit him with the stunner, you know what I'm saying, on the way to the ground.
Especially because Scar King got a freaking suplex on Kong, man.
He did.
So I kind of wanted to, you know, anyway, could have been another little move.
Also, if the little Kong would have been able to join in that too, because he did kill his dad. Like, that was fucked
true.
up.
True. He did. True. That was true. You should have got one stomp in.
And then and the humans were like totally blissfully unaware that like most of Rio de Janeiro was destroyed and at least a million people died.
Minimum. in horrific ways.
horrific fashion. Either completely smashed to death, or, you know, frozen to death, or blasted by a freaking the radiation blast.
You chilling on the beach. And then the next thing you know, nothing. Frozen nothingness.
That happened in Ghostbusters.
That's true.
No, they were fine. They all survived. Not a single person died in New York that day. Everybody was. One person died. That one guy who the monster thought was the Keymaster or whatever, or the fire starter or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's messed up.
He was like, are you the fire starter? Yeah, man, I'm the fire. Boom. That guy's dead. Everyone else lived. Everyone else survived.
That's so funny.
Okay, yeah. So that was fun, and you know, whatever. I don't even know what the next one. They need to go. They need to get them separated again. And just give them do Godzilla movie, do Kong movie. You know what I mean?
I read the director saying he wanted to do it again, where the next one. Yeah, basically, it's kind of separated. Where like the next focus is Godzilla, how this one's focused on Kong. Is what he said.
Yeah,
I would actually appreciate that. And then, like, you know, sort of like an end of a movie, Kong shows up. I'd appreciate that. How do you focus on Godzilla?
I mean, I know it's hard because they did two movies. Anyway, whatever. Well, I mean, should we do it? I mean, because we rate and review films not based on how much we liked it, but whether or not it helped the cause of leading black actors in Hollywood. So if it fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If it doesn't really help the cause, or if it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If it doesn't help the cause, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three, we usually...
I feel like we should rate this one based off of whether or not we liked it. That's what I think. This one is like a did we like it movie, you know? It's like,
you know what? I'm cool with the rating it on the cause.
Really?
All right. Yeah, because, you know, yeah.
All right, cool. All right.
One, two, three.
Okay, all right.
All right, Gerard gave it a palm.
Y'all gave it nothing?
I'll say almost gave it a palm because of Brian Tyree.
That's one reason I gave it, just because of him. I'm like, he in it.
Brian Tyree is great in it, but I don't think this movie's doing anything more for him than he already got. I don't know if that girl's going. I mean, like, she's cool too, but I don't know if this movie's doing anything for her. I don't know if she's about to star in a movie because of this movie.
Not because of this, but she's in other stuff, right? Hold on.
Think about the girl who was in Wolverine. She barely spoke. She in mad shit. She in Star Wars now. Like, I don't know.
This girl is in other stuff. I think she's already in other stuff.
Is she going to be a lead?
Eventually. She young. She could be.
What's her name? Kaylee Huttle.
Man, she's so young.
Magnum P.I. Good Morning America.
She's born in all death.
Oh, no, just this. I don't know. She must look like somebody. Or maybe I'm just remembering her from the other movie.
I think she's actually deaf. Born May 1st, 2012.
Damn.
God, can't even think about that. All right, I'm done. I am done. That's my time.
That's my time.
Wow.
Thank you all.
All right, y'all. That's my time.
That's my time. 2012. Good God.
Thank you all so much for listening. You can find us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. You find dates for shows sometimes that we have coming up, or also links to our Patreon. Guys, we like to keep this podcast free, but we have a Patreon and a Red Circle for paid subscribers so that we can keep the podcast free. We do new episodes every other week. Next week, we are going to be reviewing Monkey Man, okay? Monkey Man, starring Dev Patel, written and directed by my man Dev Patel.
Ooh, all right. So, okay, Dev.
And that will only be on Patreon and Red Circle. It's $5 a month, but it's definitely worth it if you got the money to support. We really appreciate it. You can follow me at John Braylock on Twitter and Instagram. I am going to be on a Herald team. It's called This Is She. So if you're in LA, you want to see some fun improv, come on out. Our first show is April 8th, I believe.
Oh, shit. Next week.
8:30. So, yeah, come on out. It's going to be fun. James, you got anything?
You can follow me at Rule of Three Inc. RuleOfThreeInc.com. Three is the number three. I have a comic book Kickstarter that is starting on April 10th, and it'll be going for a couple months. Please check that out and donate if you can spare, you know, or just share it, you know, talk to people about it. It's fun comic, you know, kind of like a fun kind of spooky hijinks is kind of how I describe it. So check it out. It's called Junior. Check it out.
Awesome. I think I read this one. So, guys, if you rate and review us, give us 5 stars on iTunes, we'll read your review on the air. But we haven't gotten a new one recently, so yeah, I got nothing to read. But yeah, give us 5 stars, baby. Okay. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you back on the free podcast in 2 weeks. Peace.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to RuleOfThreeInc.com or follow me at RuleOfThreeInc on IG for more details. Donate today!